Welcome to Days in the Wild. I just want to talk to you real quick before we jump to this next episode. I can't urge you enough to get out there and give us a review on iTunes or the Podbean app. It's super important. Helps me keep this free, helps me reach new people and continue to grow. If you don't know how to do that, hit me up and I'll help you. I'll help you through it. Also want you to go and give Phoenix Shooting Bags a look. Check out their website, phoenixshootingbags.com. They are our main sponsor, and they put an excellent product out, and it means a lot for me for you to go check them out and take a look and see what they got. So without further ado, let's roll into this next episode. Thank you.
Hi, welcome to Days in the Wild, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today we're going to talk to my buddy James Fitzgerald and kind of think about some ways that we can still prepare for the upcoming hunting season and in light of all this COVID stuff going on, you know, being able to do stuff at home and even if you don't have equipment, putting together workouts and stuff like that. What's going on, James?
Hey, man, I'm good. I'm looking forward to helping some of your folks out.
Cool. I appreciate you taking the time out. So real quick, just give us a rundown about yourself. I know you've been on the show before, but not everybody here listens to every show. So,
yep, I'm a fitness coach. I now own a fitness education company. We're a global education company. We coach coaches all around the world. We have 60 gyms all around the world that are dedicated to individual design inside of those little micro gyms. We've coached over 3,000 people through our education system in fitness. We're currently 25 years in the business.
Awesome. And I'm sure he didn't want to toot his own horn, but James was the original, the first guy to ever win the CrossFit Games. So.
That's a good feat. I'm more proud of the fact that I'm consistent with exercise all the time. I do that consistently, and that's more of a proud effort than winning the games. But thank you.
True. I agree. But yeah, James is a beast. He's hunted with me before. He's Canadian, so he grew up. You were like, what, way out in the sticks, right?
Northern. Yeah, almost up in the tundra, northern Labrador, where you get to see polar bear every now and then. But we're hunting caribou and ptarmigan as an example.
Awesome. So what are some of the things that I don't know. I didn't even know how to approach this, really. I mean, how are you looking at fitness today? I mean, you do it. You work out from home a lot. So you got to.
I do have some questions for you though, John, so that you can kind of give me an idea of a generalized group that's listening, right? So we can make it at least more applicable to them. But I'll start with just some concepts on ideas that a lot of people just may not be thinking about that we see currently happening. Over the past number of weeks, we forget that, you know, this big shift socially, whether you like it or not, or whatever you think about it, people need to recognize that you can have these tremendous shifts in your immune system and your fitness ability just because of the change, right?
Right.
So the number one thing that people should hear, no matter what the exercise and whatever your shit you're trying to do to maintain fitness should be to get you prepared for the wild, is that major shifts develop issues with your immune system.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that's a key term right now, right? Because everyone is like concerned around staying healthy and making sure they don't get any issues uprising, you know, and regardless of how old you are or if you're preconception for disease or whatever, it doesn't matter. Just people are concerned with that. So that's what people should recognize. So what you should have heard from that is that people should try to be as consistent with their lifestyle as possible. Like you just came before you came on the show, your boy was there with you, right?
Yeah.
What contributes to major shifts in people's health and fitness is generally major disruptions in lifestyle, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Luca being around you 8 hours a day now, it's like, what the fuck? Like, I'm used to that. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong, but that those shifts and our ability not to put up with those shifts is the key thing here. So maybe people can take something from that what they should do going into this, whatever it looks like, you have to still try to get up and go to bed the same time. You still got to have water the same time of day. You still got to have your same meal times. You can't just all of a sudden start paleo now. You know, you can do major shifts in your nutrition. Everyone thinks it's a big time for a reboot. It's the bad idea. It's a really bad idea. So what you got to try to do is be as consistent as possible. But I do have a question for you for our next step is, what do you think is the generalized perspective from your group? Like, is there regulations on people not being able to go outside and hunt or not being able to go and do things? Or what's the general concern that you think I could help with in organizing their exercise?
Well, right now, for the most part, here in Arizona and in a lot of the states out west, you're still allowed to go hunting. You're still allowed to go outside. Actually, they're encouraging to go outside. Yeah, and you know that from, you know, what our governor said. So hunting is still a very viable, activity.
Yeah.
And I would imagine, hopefully, by the time fall comes around and major hunting season start again, this is all going to be in our rearview mirror, hopefully. You know, I'm sure we'll still be picking up the pieces financially and you know, whatnot. But I think the fear of catching the virus is going to be.
Okay. So am I correct in assuming that you're more or less interested in the human that does hunting, but their lifestyle is shifted now and they're not operating their normal day to day.
Right. So like myself, normally I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd either go to the gym or 2 or 3 days a week, I'll go do stairwells or, now that's kind of disrupted.
Yeah.
So myself, I got a Total Gym. So I've been using my Total Gym at home and, but you're not, let's take Maria, for instance, mm-hmm. She's like completely out of whack. She was doing, just like you say, you know, not changing your things. Everything about her lifestyle has changed right now. Huh? She went from doing keto for like the last 6 months mm-hmm. to not doing keto. Mm-hmm. You know, and this partly because we were in Argentina for 3 weeks and that all got disrupted there. Mm-hmm. And just all the outside stressors with the kids are trying to homeschool and this and that right now. Like, you know, she can't go. Her outlet was going to Orange Theory. You know, uh-huh. that was her thing. And now uh-huh. she doesn't do that. And she doesn't know how to mimic that kind of workout here. Or really stay on track. So,
So I'll put it in some general terms. Let's go back and rehash because it's important for people to recognize that. Whatever someone should do now going into this new life, let's just say it's an 8-week time frame, right, where everything that we were normally doing is taken away from us. So what you should do from day one up for the entire 8 weeks is something that resembles as close as possible to what you were just doing.
Right.
That's the first answer, right? So, of course, you don't have dumbbells, and of course you don't have machine press, and of course you don't have a treadmill, etc. Yeah, I get it, but you got to try to come up with ways that mimics almost exactly what you were doing, because it maintains homeostasis for your immune system, right, and your strength. Now, I do know, and I'll say it again, that you can't sometimes mimic a dumbbell press. I get it.
I'll
come up with ways to help you with that, but that's the first thing you should think. Secondly, remember my first point that you can't have major shifts,
right?
You can't go from like just doing deadlifting all week and now you're doing an hour-long lunge push-up session, right?
Yeah.
That actually is worse for your immune system. Do you know what I'm saying? Third, you have to say, what is my current level of fitness, right? What is my current level of fitness? If you've done nothing, you should just do something more than nothing, right?
Right. Yeah,
if you've done a shit ton of stuff, then your immune system will actually strengthen a tiny bit if you actually drop back a little bit of work. That's a separate topic for another time. But so you got to third ask, what's my current level of fitness? And that's what you should start doing if we take an idea of 8 weeks. For the first week, what should you start doing? Just do a fucking couple of push-ups. Do some lunges. Do some walking. It's as simple as that. Don't make it complex, right?
Right.
Why? Because you've done nothing. So do something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So for you and Maria's example, which is an intricate one, we then go back to saying, well, what are the basics that's going to allow you to maintain a good, healthy immune system the whole time? And here's the basics. Here's the prescription people can hear. One day, do resistance. The next day, do aerobic work. and do that on and off until 8 weeks is up, and stay head down, ass up, forward thinking, consistent, patient, you know, the whole time.
Right.
Trying to buy, you know, unbelievable equipment that takes you 5 weeks to get used to. You know what I'm saying? So now let's back up and say, well, what does that look like? Well, what are the things you can do with your body weight that are resistance? And what are the things we can do aerobically, right, on the other day? So let's back up to the resistance. This is how any human should think about what they should do for resistance, regardless of what you have as a modality.
Right.
You should be doing pushing activities, pulling activities, core activities, lunge, bending, and squatting. Those are what we call the primal patterns of movement. So what is a pushing activity? A push-up. What is a pulling activity? A ring row or a supine row, like, or a pull row around the door, or band pulls, or a one-arm row, okay?
Right.
What's a core activity? A side bridge or a sit-up or a plank, right? Mm-hmm. What's a bending activity? You could do a reverse bridge. So you're lying on your back, you raise your hips up, and you take a leg off, and you alternate, right? What's a squatting activity? An air squat. What's a lunging activity? Walking up and down steps or walking lunges. Do you see my point? So those are the simple aspects of all those patterns for resistance. What do you do the next day? Whatever can be maintained as an activity for 30, 60, 90 minutes, whatever you want to do. So what could that be? Snowshoeing, hiking, cross-country skiing, biking, walking.
Yeah.
So get outside, get unplugged, and just walk in nature, right?
Right.
And if you do that on and off, those primal movements of resistance one day, and then the aerobic work the next day, and just put your fucking head down and keep moving, you'll have enough success where you come out the other side, your immune system's strong, right? You're ready to go back to Orange Theory.
Right.
And more importantly, you're not all fucked up from doing real stupid exercise that makes you either more sick or have a higher chance of injury, you know, on the other side.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I know myself personally, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I kind of, everything I've been doing has been pretty much the same type of movements that I do when I'm at the gym. You know, I'm using, obviously I'm using a different machine, but like this morning, my workout was basically what would have been like a lateral raise. Then I did external rotation and bicep curls.
Yep.
I did body squats. I did like a side plank with a rotation.
Yep.
I did like U sit-ups. Mm-hmm. Or U crunches, and I used the total gym board, and I kind of did those as like rollouts, like a and what else did I do? I think that might have been it.
So the only two movements that I would say you should add to your repertoire is something that taxes your hamstrings, something that is a lunge pattern.
Okay.
Do you see? So all your listeners can listen in and go, okay, I heard pushing, I heard pulling, I heard core, I heard squatting, but they didn't hear lunging or bending, right? So you got to tax your low back, bum, hamstrings, and you have to tax the what we call a lunge pattern.
Okay.
So if you add that to the repertoire and put it into a fun circuit, you know, the biggest issue that you know, the people that are really having a hard time are the ones that were at the gym doing significant resistance all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Because now it's very hard for them to get the same kind of stimulus, right?
Right.
I mean, you can only do so many different styles of push-up that are going to give somewhat of a percentage of an overload that's like a 3RM bench press.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So, but you're not going to be able to. Listen, this is life. So I can give you lots of ideas, right? Jump squats, jump lunges, plyometrics, clap push-ups, dips on a chair, pull-ups in your stairwell, you know, pistols, planche and lever gymnastic progressions, you know, crazy core activities. Like, there's lots of ways you could just search YouTube to figure out what can challenge those people.
Right, right. Yeah. I don't think for me, except for maybe legs, I don't really ever go heavy at the gym. I haven't gone heavy at the gym in a long time.
Yeah.
Mainly because my focus, I'm not trying to bodybuild. I'm not trying to I mean, maybe I should make my wife happier if I live better. But I try mostly functional type strength stuff. So that's why I think I found it easier for myself to transition to working out home and doing what I got to do. But I think where Maria's having a hard time specifically is the cardio thing.
Yeah.
Right now the allergies are so bad outside. So like when she goes outside, it's kind of like making her feel even worse and whatnot.
So then you have to adapt to what you want. To back up. And I'm not saying this is Maria's instance, but for a lot of people, it is a wake up call to having incorrect intentions inside of your nutrition and exercise behaviors, right? That's the wake up call. So philosophically, you know, whether we like it or not, it's good that this happened, because then people go, you know what? My alignment of intentions is completely fucked up because it can't be maintained when there's time for stress. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So if someone's like freaking out right now because they can't do enough push-ups to get them a metabolic atmosphere, that's not the push-ups problem. That's your problem. You know what I'm saying? You got correct intentions upstairs, right? So for those individuals, I still think they need to be a little bit more patient and back up. For her example, indoors, very valid concern. But listen to what I said about aerobic activity. You have to continue to do something that can be maintained for 30 to 60 to 90 minutes, right? So, you know, put a good podcast on and go up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, you see how it's like, no, that's dumb. That's not a class. Well, it's fucking cardio. Like, what are you complaining about? You can't go outside, go up and down the stairs, right? Or go up and down the stairs 5 times and then learn how to jump rope. And then go up and down the stairs 5 times and then learn how to jump rope. So if you can do that, who gives a shit what your heart rate is, or if it's fat burning or all that bullshit that's locked in your head from social construct? How about you just do it because you want to move for 30 to 40 minutes, right?
Right.
Do you see it change up intentions, right?
Absolutely.
But if people are going into that session with like, this is not going to make me lean, this is not going to, you know, get me back to my goals, they're already tripping themselves up over what they should be doing.
Amen. I know. I see that. No, I do. I love it. I love that you're so straightforward, man. I love it.
Well, listen, I'm not sleeping with them, right? So it's easy for me to say that. But when you're in that relationship, it's tougher. But I mean, that's my voice. I want people to recognize that this should be a wake up call to their incorrect intentions.
Yeah. I know. And I think that's, you just hit it on the head. Like, I think everybody's got this, I was here and this is what I was doing there. And they're just so fixated on that.
Yeah.
Whatever else, you know, you can't see the.
Yeah. How sustainable was that process? That's what they're going to realize, right?
Right.
Exactly. So hopefully at the other end, they're like, man, I'm never going to get into that spot again where I'm so reliant on doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Where if Orange Theory stops, my life is over. It's like, well, there's other things. There's other things, you know?
Thank God my wife never listens to this podcast, so she knows I'm using her as an example.
I may send it as a link in her DM.
I do it. Oh, man.
We love you, Maria. No. We love
you. Yeah. You know what? But she's just a good example. Because I know a lot of people, like my cousin Paul, I've been talking to him. And he's like, you know, he used to go work out at this gym over here called The Pound.
Yeah.
And he was used to this, like, CrossFit type style workout, and then they incorporate boxing into it and whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, I'm just getting fat. And he's like, all he's doing is going for walks with the dog in the morning. And you know, I'm like, well, I mean, you were here at this activity level and then now you're here. So try to figure out something. He's got a total gym, actually.
Okay.
He's got one at the house.
So for something like that, if we're talking about non-exercise activity thermogenesis and exercise energy expenditure, it's just that this is too short of a time for them to recognize that there'll be this change in basal metabolic rate over time, that it'll go back to a zero. It'll go back to zero, right? So let me just say this. Someone has 3,600 calories per day and doing intense shit, right? And now they're like doing really low shit and doing nothing during the day and still having 3,600 calories, right?
Probably more because we're home and bored.
Possibly.
I know I'm eating more. That's my big problem right now. So I
possibly. But here's the thing. Possibly is that all people want to focus on is just calorie counting and seeing that there's a net positive now in cows coming in. That doesn't mean it's wrong in science. But listen, if this was to be the same way where if you were to track this person over 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, et cetera, his self-evident behavior would start to drop his calories required because his activity is impeding and giving action to what he's going to be taking in, right? So if he was to do this for 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 18 weeks, 24, God forbid this goes for like 40 weeks, he would eventually start dropping weight because he would see that the work that he's doing, he has no reason to eat all the food that he needs to be dissipating in his exercise. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's just that in 8 weeks, there's this lag time where people are like, I'm still going to have this 3,600 calories and all I'm doing is walking, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, you may not need to be doing that amount. So,
yeah.
And this is why we teach coaches to honor the aspects of what we call basic lifestyle guidelines for clients, meaning, you know, you got to have same rhythm, you got to have low stress, you got to have drink water during the day, you got to pray or take these parasympathetic elements into every meal, meaning like breathe 10 times before every meal, calm down, relax, you know, and people need to do that. Why? Because then they'll be more conscious of the fact they're like, I'm having two burgers, but I'm not going back to the gym for 2 hours tonight, you know?
Right.
Then they'll start thinking, you know what, maybe I won't. And the reason why they get there is not because they're tracking their calories, to my point, is that they're more aware of what's required.
Right. Yeah. And I think you just kind of made me think of something. So the stress level too, like, you know, the stress level of worried about our businesses right now, worried about finances, worried about catching the virus. Uh-huh. My dog's going nuts out there. Somebody must be knocking on the door or something. And like, I know when I'm stressed out, I stress eat.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's a comfort for me.
Yep.
But when I stress out, I'm so much more tired and I'm don't put the effort into my activities that I normally would. Like,
yeah,
I've been working out since we got back from Argentina.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to stay consistent, but I know I'm not putting the same amount of effort into it mm-hmm. as that I normally would.
Like, yeah.
Because I've just been really.
Yeah.
A lot of my focus has been taken up by the stress and all the things that I've been having to focus on.
Yeah. So the winning solution for that is you're ahead of it because you're aware of it. The biggest issue is folks are not aware of this new stressor and how they're reacting to it. Right. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you were aware of it. So you're already ahead of the game. Right. But there's a lot of people that are not aware of it. Right. And that's why we say, don't hesitate to reach out to your friends and say, how are you? Just check in with folks, do FaceTime stuff with those around you, et cetera, because there's a lot of people that are unconscious to the idea that they're really stressed right now and they're not handling it well. And as I mentioned previously, this is a new stressor and that actually lowers your immune system function, right? So if you combine stress with stressful eating, which is generally like salty, crunchy foods or sugary foods, both for different reasons, right? Salty stuff people will go after for an adrenal effect. Sugary foods people will go after for a dopamine, like calm down effect. Both of them will lead to overconsumption of calories, but you get this vicious cycle where people get blood sugar mismanagement now. So now they have energy ups and downs, basically, clear thinking, and you add stress to that. It's a nasty cycle, right? It's a nasty cycle. Where, of course, you get a whole ton of people, which is prevalent, you know, in 60% of all of our adult population today. They're just zombies walking around. They don't even know what's going on, right? Why? Because they can't get off the sugar drip, right? Because they're in this constant cycle. So what you're talking about is a real thing. And how people can get out of it is first the awareness that you are doing stressful eating, that you are stressed.
Right. But
once you do become aware of that, you're now going to possibly change up your behaviors and not judge yourself when you're like, you know what? I'm going to have this fucking cheesecake pie, but I fucking don't care. I just know that I'm stressed and that's why I'm having it. I would much rather have someone in that position, right? And then suffer the consequences after, as opposed to someone be like, oh, that looks really good. Are you really stressed right now? Oh, no. It's just, you know, I got nothing to do. So I'm just going to, you know what I'm saying? Like that's
a scenario
because they're repressing the fact that they're not aware of or want to talk with the fact that they are stressed, right? So become stressed about it, and then it'll help you lead to changes in those behaviors over time.
Right. I caught myself last night. I
yeah,
went
see, that's
I,
an example. Right?
Yeah.
That's an example.
I was heading out to the refrigerator in the garage to go grab ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, if I have ice cream once every couple of months, maybe every 3-4 months, it's a, you know, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And I had ice cream the other night because we made a special dinner or whatever, and I got it for dessert or whatever. Yeah. And I found myself going out there, and I'm like, man, no. I walk myself back inside. I'm like, I'm going to go eat this. I'm hungry. I was hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm like, that's not the choice. So I went back inside. Instead, I warmed up some ground beef and avocados and ate that instead. But I know, like, when you're stressed out, I see it. I feel myself wanting to go do things that would comfort me or, you know, make me feel better. But
yeah. But that's a perfect noticing that everyone can listen to for where we need to try to get to is a level of awareness and then watching our footsteps as we work towards the ice cream and then being able to go, you know, so what? Right. Fuck it. Yeah. Let's just turn around and have some protein and fats. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And now you're like, no judgment. It is what it is. Right. I'll have it another day. But the fact is that you are now in control. You have agency over what you're doing for your behaviors.
Nice.
But right now, I mean, you know, let's be empathetic. There's a shit ton of parents out there who have their whole life upended, you know, percentages. Not everyone has a strong relationship as much as we think they do. Right. So they're spending more time with their spouse now. Not everyone has strong relationships with their children, right? As much as we think they do, right? There's facts and data on that. So you now put everyone into one home, you know, all that shit's going to come up, right? So listen, we are empathetic. This is a stressful period. But the number one thing you could do is basically just be aware of that. You don't even need to tell anyone about it, but you got to be aware of it. And then when you're aware of it, you can start making some changes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I noticed it with my kids, man. Like, they are, again, not all three of them. My eldest, Ella, she's been pretty damn good. So, but my 4-year-old, he's 4, and I keep saying, oh yeah, he's 4. I keep giving him the excuse that he's 4. And then there's Olivia. Man, Olivia and my wife start from the beginning of the morning to the end of the night. They're like, you know, they're like this, and it's not that way during our normal course of the.
No, because they get space.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
They're both really, and we won't just use Maria and Olivia as that example because that's unfair, but they're both unfulfilled.
Right.
Right? Like in their traditional day, you know, this young girl who's starting to err on the side of like trying to move away from the nest, she needs social interaction with her friends, right? She needs exposure away from her parents, right? And so if that's together all day, that's going to be the thing, right? And Maria has things that she wants to do in her life, right? So you're going to get this, you know, you're going to get this lack of fulfillment just based upon, again, that shift in day-to-day lifestyle. So again, it's the awareness of that and talking it out is the healing process, because then at the end of the day, you could still say, hey, I love you. You love me. It's just that we're going to have to put up with this now for a number of weeks, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. I didn't want me to single out my wife, but
no. We're using them as an example,
yeah,
right?
Example, but it's myself. It's myself too, like, cause I see it. Like I wouldn't call me the most patient person in the whole world, but I usually can catch myself. But I've noticed that I'm not catching myself nearly as much.
Yeah.
So I it's very easy for me to go from this level to this level really fast, you know, and.
Yeah.
My fuse is much shorter right now, and I'm not proud of it. Definitely not proud of that, for sure. Yeah.
But it's a good awareness. You're ahead of the game on it.
I'm trying to find some normalcy, because, I mean, yeah, even though the whole COVID thing might only be hopefully another 4-8 weeks, whatever, 20 weeks, I don't know, but whatever it is, we got 4 months, you know, because now the kids are on they're basically their summer break started.
Yeah.
Already,
yeah.
You know, and they're not going back to school. They're not going back to their routines until, you know, end of August or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a long time. You know, that's a long time. We got to figure out something before. And we're only two weeks into this thing or whatever. We're going to be killing each other pretty quick.
Yeah. So. What I could offer for some parents that don't have that. is the, you gotta remember the biggest thing that they're missing there besides this difference in lifestyle is that, you know, younger children need structure and they need to have something in place, right? And then if we don't have the ability to create structure as adults, like the school was offering or daytime public, you know, sport activities were offering, you need to create structure. So something that has helped a tremendous amount of parents that we've been working with that want to continue their lives of being in a home state is that like from 1 p.m. till like 4 p.m., they'll actually have structured things like on a schedule that everyone partakes in. So it's even the structure itself that creates this like unison, right? And everyone buys in, right? So from like 1 to 2, you know, I'm just giving examples. 1 to 2, we're all out back playing a game of smash ball and then doing our own little workouts together, right? And we all got to compromise and do that from 1 to 2 because that's what we're agreeing upon, right? And then from 2 to 3, everyone has to read a book and no one can talk to another person, right? That's another structure. From 3 to 4, we're all going to prepare a meal. One person's going to prepare dessert. One's going to prepare supper. One's going to prepare some of that. Do you see what I'm saying? So you actually have this blocked out structure, right? And even wherever, you know, daddy's going to be in his office from 4 to 5, right? It's like, you can't come in. This is the structured time. It's just that people are not creating that structure, which we've always had in place unintentionally. And I think that's an example of what people can choose to do to create rhythm.
Awesome. No, it's awesome advice, man. It's actually a very perfectly timed podcast because I got a little therapy out of it.
Super. Well, it's for me and as well other people could be listening in who need a couple of those little lifestyle tricks that can create a better functioning for 8 to 10 weeks or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. Well, anything else you want to touch on or?
No, man. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that on the other side, people have better intentions around health and longevity and well-being. I'm hope that it wakes people up to ask things like what really matters, right? You know, if we're really stressing out over someone's political concepts or someone's ideas, right? So I hope at this end, people will go, you know, my family really matters or my job really matters or my life and well-being really matters. I hope people really ask those questions at the end of this. And I hope in the meantime, people can maybe shift up their intentions on how beneficial it is to have healthy intentions around exercise and behaviors of food, right?
Right.
I hope that's the case, right? Yeah. And I also hope that, you know, safety and well-being for everyone. I really hope that not a lot of people get knocked to the side off this, and so we can turn it around and come back strong.
Yeah, for sure. Where you talked about some assets and stuff that you might be able to provide that people could go and look at different types of, you know, give ideas for exercise and whatnot.
Yeah, really simple. Go to opexfit.com, OPEXFIT.com, and just sign. Even if you're not a coach, you can sign up for an email list where we send out constant free information. Webinars, PDF assets, ebooks, etc. That is for remote coaching, online home training, meaning that we'll show you a whole home training layout so people can go through what I talked about indirectly earlier. We'll talk about resources of like how to structure lifestyle to keep yourself sane during that period of time. We'll talk about like food disruption and hydration and issues like that and stress that you could kind of read and go, oh, wow, I didn't know I could do that for the time being. So there's some things there that the public could get some benefits from.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you coming on and taking the time. And hopefully this will blow over soon and the families will get together and we'll do something.
Yeah. Yeah. I look forward to it. I want to kill Helena with you.
Yeah. We got to go deer hunting this year, though.
Okay. That's a better prize. I'm down with that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, man. Well, once this blow's over, we'll get out and get your bow set up and get you ready to go.
Yeah, for sure. It's hanging and waiting. So thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Bye.